You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. This week, a Japanese-American from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, visited Fresno for the first time in 78 years. In 1942, Walter Imahara and his family were ordered to leave their home in Sacramento and come to the Fresno Assembly Center per President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Executive Order 9066. The family was then sent to an internment camp in Arkansas. I spoke to Imahara at the Fresno County Historical Museum, along with Fresno resident and Shinsen Garden designer Paul Saito, who was also interned when he was a child. We'll start with Imahara explaining what it was like for his father to leave Sacramento.
So he was ordered to come here to report, and he lost his 60-acre farm. So when he got here, he had seven children. I was like 4 years old, so when you have your parents, things aren't so bad, okay? But the parents are the one that carry the burden, yeah. But I could remember just the horse stable and things like that, but as children, it's not super bad.
Seeing what the Fresno Fairgrounds is now and this sort of memorial, I mean, what's kind of going through your head today, revisiting it for the first time?
You know, when I drive through this Fresno area, of course, I can't believe the change, because in my mind, it was just horse track, huh? Because we went from here to Arkansas. So all these years that have passed, and I got an opportunity that they're going to put a program together where I can come visit. So everything is, to me, new.
Paul, I know you were interned, or I understand you were interned also at Arkansas, same as Walter, right? Did you guys ever cross paths?
I don't know. We were only 5 years old, so I might have seen him, but I don't know. We're probably in the same class, but I don't even know who my classmates were.
But that, I think, kind of really speaks to how it became its own community, all of the camps, right? Is that kind of how you remember it, even though you were so young?
Well, I was from Los Angeles area, so we went to a different assembly center. We were sent to Santa Anita Racetrack, where we lived in horse stables like they did here. Then we were taken the long train ride back to Arkansas. We lived in that sultry area and remembering all the bad things like the chiggers and the ticks and all these other mosquitoes. It was pretty horrible living there. But it was kind of different living with all Japanese people. Well, we're used to living with all Caucasian people. So it's an adjustment to live just with our own race.
Right, and a completely different culture and a place you didn't choose. One thing I wanted to ask is, this week is 4th of July is going on. Do you recall maybe celebrating that holiday while you guys were in camp?
Not really. But I was here in Sacramento about 2 years ago. And at that time, it was like I mentioned it to our guests. I said, last time I had 4th of July was in 1941, and here it is, you know, like 75 years later, I'm having 4th of July in Sacramento again. So there's a big time span. And so to go from childhood to today, it was a very emotional time, yeah. The time was so long.
And being that, you know, people treat this holiday as like celebrating patriotism and freedom, I mean, when you think about the experience you've had living in camp, and maybe, Paul, you could talk about this too, do you feel like you have a different view on that compared to maybe other Americans who didn't have that same experience?
I think we've got a better view. I have friends at the coffee shops, and they talk bad about what's wrong with America. And I stop them first. I said, you know, America is the best country in the world. I said, but before I ask, how many of you been in the service? And just maybe a couple of hands go up. I said, most of you know my background. I was 3.5 years in a concentration camp, 3.5 years, and I ended up as an officer in the same uniform that guarded us 20 years ago. I said, now let me remind everybody that we are very loyal Americans. And when my parents went to Louisiana to educate the nine children, eight of us got college education. That's how we did it. But the best story is there's four boys. I'm the oldest. We all joined the military. We joined. Because the parents says, after we got out of college, what service are you going into? And I said, well, I'll go into Army. I'll go to OCS. Okay, so we're very loyal. So I don't like it when somebody talks bad about America.
So even having the experience of being in the camps where the government, you know, incarcerated Japanese Americans, for you that hasn't made your loyalty waver at all?
No, not one bit. We all knew it was a period. We knew why we were in camp, but as a child, it didn't matter. But as a grown-up, as we came through, we knew it was part of our life, but we couldn't carry it with us. You know, there's a Japanese word, shigatanai, means you got to let it go. And you can see of the Japanese that came out of camp, the parents of the children, they all push education and get over it, get on with life. And in general, we all have.
Paul, same question to you. I mean, having had this experience, do you feel the same way as Walter, where you just feel still very loyal and understand that that's just how things were?
Yes, I feel the same way Walter does. In fact, I joined the Air Force as soon as I graduated college. So I spent my time in Texas doing basic training, which was terrible. But anyway, So I served 6 years in the reserves. And after I got out, then I went into my profession. And like he says, our parents, they insisted that we go to college. And so both my sisters and I, both of us graduated from college and went into our respective professions. And that's how we succeeded.
Having looked at this museum, lived the lives you all have lived, how are you feeling about the state of, ultimately the state of the government? Are you optimistic that things are going well right now? Or, I mean, looking at these, you know, detained migrants and the possibility of housing migrants in a former camp, I don't know, how does that make you feel right now?
It doesn't, but my outlook is so different than an average American walking the streets that we you know, there's a lot of things wrong with America, okay? But we just said, but there's so many great things. So myself, living in Louisiana, and when the Japanese-American family get together, you know how many they are in Louisiana? About the number of people here, there isn't any, okay? But all my brothers and sisters, once they got educated, they left Louisiana. I stayed there, because I love Louisiana. And I was in a horticulture, so I went in nursery business, okay? But all my life, I always thought that this country is still great, we celebrate 4th of July. And recently, I was on a talk show in Baton Rouge about a week ago, and they want to talk about the reparation what is my thoughts about it, because now there's a front moving toward a group of people. And so before I went, I found the letter of apology that we received in 1990 with a copy of the check, and I gave it to the speaker, radio announcer. He was astonished. He knew a lot about the Japanese American, but he'd never seen this. So he read the whole story about the apology, and he mentioned by President George Bush. Then he said, I have a copy of the check, okay, $20,000. So he says, so what is your thoughts on that? I said, the letter of apology was what we needed. It was not the check, okay? So you could see, and I told my father received, and all he did was cry.
That was Walter E. Mehara and Paul Saito, both of whom I spoke with at the Fresno County Historical Museum.